Thank you to Shirley for being so gracious with sharing those wonderful songs with us and the piano, and it was very nice. And you weren't here, Vicky Jo, but we sang a couple of songs that Shirley had wrote, and it was very nice. And maybe next time when you come around to it. So, the name of the message today is called Taming the Tongue. Taming the Tongue. And I want to give a disclaimer before we even begin. That disclaimer is truly and simply this. That for all those who are out there, whether you're in the pew and or whether you're online, please do understand and know that this is the Word of God, and it's going to cut. No matter what you preach out of the Word of God, it's going to sometimes hurt and cut. This can never be a personal thing from somebody speaking up here. Rather, it is given in such a manner where there can be no malice in the person's heart who gives it. There can be no anger, and there can be no spite involved. Amen? Neither would that be blessed. That is because God is just and fair, and it's God's job to do the pruning. It's God's job to convict hearts. And it is a very good thing to know that it's not my responsibility, nor would I want that responsibility, and I praise God for it. I could never do that, and I don't want it. All I want to do is be free to give it with a clean conscience, free to speak as God would have me to speak. And I know that that is what the way it was meant to be. I wanted to give that disclaimer so that people would know, whoever you are, wherever you are, that this is not targeted for any one person, but for everybody, all of us. All of us, including myself, who need to understand the Word of God. And I'm learning and growing just like you are. I'm no better, and I'm no different. And I would be remiss to say otherwise. And I think people already know that. People understand that. And I'm not here to use this as a sort of as some people would call it, a bully pulpit. Or a pulpit for pimps, where they pimp for money or for your goods or for your sympathy. That's not what it's meant for. But rather to give the true, pure Word of God with a clean conscience. Amen? And it is meant here to be given to exhort, to edify, to comfort, and to do all these things in the name of Jesus, with a pure heart. Amen. And also it's important that people understand and know that Jesus' words were given by inspiration from God. He is the Son of God. Jesus came to here on this earth, yet He is God. He spoke with His great and wonderful words, with His everlasting words, words of life, words that will live in eternity forever. He spoke the world into existence. And we can know and understand that we can rely on the Word of God because it changes not. It is like an anchor for our souls, a rock that we can lean on, hang on to. There is such a rock that the enemy would be ground to powder for those that disobey the word of God and for those that hate God, for those that hate God's people. So we don't want to be in that side. We don't want to be in that camp. But we do want to be on the right side, literally and figuratively, of God. Amen. If we go to Matthew chapter 12, chapter 12 in Matthew, go to verse 34. If you'll notice how the Lord spoke, he spoke with authority, didn't he? He didn't play with his words, because truly this is not a game. And we have people out there who will use words carelessly. And it's not a game. This is about life and death, because life and death are in the tongue. Blessing and cursing are in the tongue. And it says here, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, in other words, a pure fountain of water will not bring forth a salty water. A corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. That's what the Lord is trying to tell us today. So, the things that come into our mind have a chance to germinate. They make their way down into the heart, where they begin to grow, where that seed is planted, and it begins to be watered, whether for evil intentions or for good. We water the good things of our heart with the word of God and prayer. And it is watered and it flourishes, and it comes forth out of the mouth. And we speak forth either words of life or cursing and death. Therefore, it is important how we speak and what we speak. That's why it was incumbent upon me to give that disclaimer, so that people understand and know that Jesus is here not for your evil, but for your good, to save you, to bless you, to help you, to lead you, not drive you like the world or the devil. Amen. The Lord wants you to get in line with his word so that you can understand what blessings are all about, so that you can understand that when God leads you, you can follow, and you can follow and live a life that will be followed by blessings, followed by a life of fullness, joy, and peace. So go to 39, Psalms 39, 1, and it says here, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Amen. And according to Psalms 141, 3, go to 141, 3. We are to take heed to our ways. We are to watch how we walk in this world, because the world is set on fire by the words that we speak. The tongue is a little member, but that's why we have two ears, rather to listen more and to speak less. Amen? Praise God. 141, 3. And it says here in 141:3, set a watch. What does that mean? Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. We are to incline our heart, it says in the word of God, to do and to live and to practice that which is good and right and pleasing in the sight of God. To give heed, to watch, to be careful, to examine our thoughts, examine what we think and say. What are the intentions of the words we speak? Are they for good or are they for evil? Are they to build up and edify, exhort and comfort? Or are they spoken, whether it be in written letter form or verbal words or over the phone or in a song somewhere? No matter how it's formatted, what are the intentions of that word? Is it meant to tear down and to destroy? Is that not what the devil has done since the beginning? We don't want to go there. We don't want to practice what the devil practices. We must watch our hearts and guard our hearts. The Bible is so clear regarding that. Why don't we go to James chapter 3, 1 through 13. Go to James chapter 3, if you would. In the King James Bible, too, by the way. And it says in the King James Bible, "My brethren, be not many masters." In other words, what is the Lord trying to say here? Walk with humility. Don't try to be everybody's judge and ruler and teacher, but walk with humility. Walk with the spirit of wanting to learn. Walk with the spirit of wanting to humbly teach. And if you're going to preach, do so. But do so with conviction. And mean what you say. I don't want to listen to some drunk on a stool somewhere in some dilapidated run-down bar in some back alley talking nonsense. I want to know that when somebody speaks to me, they really mean what they say. Because to me, that means everything. And if you don't mean what you say, don't, please, you know, don't fill the airwaves with that. But speak truth. Speak what you really feel and know. And mean it. Don't speak if you don't mean something. Because nobody wants to hear it. And nobody needs to hear that. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. The perfect man, the same is a perfect man. I don't know of any perfect man on earth. But we know that a horse, when a bridle is put into a horse's mouth, the bridle is used to lead and to guide the horse in the right direction, the way that you want the horse to go. And so it is, the spirit of man, when we yield our life to God, He will direct our lives and how the things that we should say and do. Amen. And it says here in verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." So we must learn to tame the tongue, but the brutish and the wicked do not obey the Lord. The brutish and the wicked pulverize the truth. They pulverize all that is right and good. And they have no care how their words come out. It's like a hammer. When you hammer something, it's not precision. It just falls apart. It shatters. Our job and our work here on earth is not to shatter lives, but it's to build up. It's to prune if the Lord uses us in that way. It's to help and to edify through our words, not to tear down and shatter and break apart carelessly. "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So, as the helm is governing the ship, the small helm, and I don't know if you've ever been on a ship, I don't know if you even have been near a ship, but I have been on a ship. I've lived on a ship. I've lived on one for 4 straight years. And it's a awesome thing to ponder about. And so it is. The tongue governs the whole body. The tongue governs our life. So we must keep that in mind. This whole thing, this whole message is about the tongue. It's about the how-tos. Now, I just want to say that when I'm speaking here today, it may not all be good. There may be a part 2 and a part 3, which at that time I will attempt, by the grace of God, show you how we can overcome. But today is going to be about the words we say, how we say them, and the evil connotations behind those words and the consequences. And there are many. But people need to learn and they need to know. They need to be reminded. We all need to be reminded. I do daily. I get up. You know how that it is. And people forget so easily things. And they are easily beset by sins, whether it be a fault through their mouth or through some action or activity. So we must all learn to pay heed, whether you perhaps like to hear it or not, or whether you even like the person who's speaking it. I can't control that, and neither do I care to. That's God's job. Amen. People didn't much care for John the Baptist. I'm not calling myself John the Baptist. I'm just using that as an example. Many thought he was a weirdo, dressed the way he was and eating locusts and things of that nature. But God uses those kinds of people to get his point across, to confound the wise. Amen. I'm nobody special. Hey. But I do have a heart that's willing to obey. I do have a heart that's willing to fight and go through the battle with those that need me, that will help to assist and to be a blessing. I'm not afraid to do that. And perhaps maybe that's why I'm here. I don't know. Maybe there's more to it. I just don't know. That's God's job. But I just take one step at a time, one day at a time, from strength to strength, from level to level, just like you are in your life. Just like the way you are being led wherever and whoever you are. We all fall in line or out of line and step with the Word of God, depending on what persuasion or understanding you fall into. Amen. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. For we know that the tongue is unruly, abundant in sin. It is called a world of iniquity. It is the one thing that will set ablaze a heart to do evil, to do wickedness, and to destroy. And friends, that is the very thing that the devil is behind. Whenever you see yourself doing such things, know that it's not of God. No, that the devil is behind the kind of words that come out to hurt and to destroy whoever that person might be that the devil is using. And it is also known as a burning fire. If you go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips There is as a burning fire, for it is a hellish nature to be that way. It is born of hell to dig up and to exhort others to do the same. You can use the Word of God and understand the Word of God if you will but apply the Word of God to your life. Notice it says the Word of God. His words are life. The devil's words are death. There is a big difference. And if you go to James chapter 3, and the tongue, 3:6 that is, I'm sorry. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell, that produces all the rage and the hatred and the malice that you see coming through the airwaves on through the computer and in the world all over. And even here, I mean, there are people everywhere that use curse words. Wherever you go, even in stores, even on TV now, they're starting to, because they want their ratings to hit high levels, so they're starting to use curse words more and more and more. And even those filthy bomb words that I don't dare even mention. It's a disgusting thing. It's a full of maliciousness. And it's doing the devil's work. And we don't want to go there either, my friends. No. James 3:7. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. If left unchecked, it can spit and spew the venom, just like a viper. When a viper spits into your eyes, it causes blindness in some venomous snakes. And so it is with the devil. He'll come and he'll try to blind you. He'll spit into your face. He'll spit venom and spew out all kind of lies and filth about somebody else. And if we have iniquity found in our heart, we'll give ear to that and we'll listen to that and we'll pay heed to that. And then we'll verbalize those very same things doing the devil's work. And it's important that we guard against such manner. Amen. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. So there are people out there that are very brutish who would do such a thing. There are people out there who would, even though men and women are serving God, even after the similitude of God, it says here, that they have no respect unto them. They have no respect for the things of God. They have no respect for the Word of God. And they are brutish in their manner and ways by speaking evil of these things. They have no understanding. In verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So if we speak the truth, we will shame the devil. Is that not the truth? We'll shame the devil when we speak the truth. We'll bruise his head when we do so. For Proverbs chapter 140, verse 3. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Oh, no, it does not, does it? No way. Just like oil and water don't mix. You don't mix your life with the world. Oil and water don't mix, neither does sweet water. and bitter come out of the same fountain. Therefore, we ought not to corrupt ourselves. This was in James chapter 3, verse 11. We ought not to corrupt ourselves and to be mixed and to add mixture into our lives full of confusion, thinking that we're living the life only to deceive ourselves by attempting to be sweet on one moment and then be devouring somebody the next. So that is why it's important to watch how that we carry ourselves. Watch what we say. Watch and guard our hearts, because what goes into the heart comes out of the mouth. Verse 12. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Because we know what? We will know them by their fruits. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation of his works with meekness and wisdom. So we know them by their spirit, by their temperament, the true wisdom, the conversation of their life, their heart, the words they speak. You'll know them by their fruits. Psalms 52, 1 through 7. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. So, what we have here is, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? Why brag? Why tell others the evil deeds that you do as though that you do good? The goodness of God endureth continually. We cannot think, nor should we, that we would be getting away with anything by doing the mischief, by talking in such a manner. Because God knows all things all the time. Nothing's hidden from Him. And you see, we can't run and we can't hide. We can't say ever that God cannot see or hear, that He doesn't know, because that plainly is not the truth. He does know. He does see. Truth of the matter is, He wrote the Bible. He created you. He knows exactly what you're going to do all the time, even before you do it, and even before you think. Psalms 52, 2 through 7. Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. What does that mean? These are words, as you already probably know, those people who love to spread rumor and lie and innuendo, deceitfully doing so, with the intent to injure and to harm. Verse 3, thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. In other words, their heart is quick to speak evil, but like a lion that is greedy for its prey, ready to pounce on them, they lie in wait. They wait. They find that the moment, the time is right, and they pounce on them. Or they wait for a juicy word from somebody else, a gossip thing, or they might see something that they want to see that really isn't happening, or they miss the intent. People always, if they like someone, they're going to look for the good, and they're going to understand that. But when they don't like somebody, they're always going to find what's wrong with that person. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? They're always going to try to find some excuse to gossip against you. But hey, we know that such a thing comes from the pit of hell. We know that such a person is living by the standards of demons. They listen to their precepts. They listen, and they listen hard, because that's what they're looking for. Their heart has been found to be iniquitous. And that is why it's important that we know and see these things and ask God to change us while there's still time. Because truly, we will be judged, each and every one of us, whether for good or for evil, by the words we speak. And it says here in Psalm 57:4, "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues are a sharp sword." Have you noticed that this scripture speaks about spears, arrows, and words that are meant to kill and destroy others? So if we're using those kinds of words towards other people, we ought to take heed to our ways, according to Psalm 39:1. If you go to Psalm 59:7, "Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips, for who, say they, doth hear?" In other words, they will savagely attack with impunity and indifference the good character that you have built up over a lifetime. But it takes only one moment for your character to be destroyed. If you live a life and you do something stupid, or you say something wrong, or you are found to be in a place where you shouldn't be, it doesn't take much. But then those words are going to fly. Psalm 52:4 through 7 says here, "Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue." They were pleased rather to listen and to speak those words that are harmful and mischievous, rather than to be and to do and to speak those things that are uplifting and good. In verse 5, "God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living." We're talking about people that are out of the tabernacle, that are in the church, God's people, that are plucked out, that are separated. But sooner or later, my friends, each one of us will sit at the banquet table of true consequence for the words that we speak. That table, that banquet table of consequence, is judgment. We will sit there and we will, it's kind of like that scenario that people say, and I've heard it said, where you make the bed, you must sleep in it. And we are all going to sit at that judgment seat before God. We must sit there and we must eat and we must sleep in the very place we made our home and our dwelling. And I don't want to be in that place of dwelling where demons and dragons had their way with me, or where I cooperated with them. No, thank you, and no way. And I don't think you do either. But I'm here today to just try to exhort people to watch the tongue, to be careful for the way we walk, because it's slippery out there. It's slippery wherever we go anymore. And we have to guard our hearts, because people today are so easily offended. People today are so easily confused. And they're so easily bruised, like the summer fruit that is talked about here in the Word of God. And I can't point fingers to nobody. I can't even think about a name. I have to look in the mirror. I can't, it's not my right to do that. I don't even care to do that, to be honest with you. But I've got all I can do just to look at myself. That's a full-time job right there. So, whoever is listening to this, please know, nothing here. I'm not targeting anybody specific at all. I've got all I can do to look at me. In Psalm chapter 52, it says here, verse 6, "The righteous also shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him. Lo, this man is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. They wretchedly deceive themselves and others. They forsake any knowledge of God by doing such a thing. They forsake God's word. They forsake his knowledge. They forsake living in his spirit. They have thrown it off. They have cast it aside. They've kicked it to the curb. And they've rejected it in word and deed." So friends, we must be careful how that we allow things in our heart. And what germinates in there comes out. What we allow to water and to cultivate will come out either for good or evil. And I've seen it happen again and again and again. And I've seen it happen to me, and I've done it to others. And it's a scary thing. I have a lot of regrets in life. And some of the biggest regrets I've ever had is an evil word spoken to another. The things I used to tell my brother, for example, I regret in the worst way. My heart is completely broken every time I think about it. I'm devastated at the things that I told him. I have never forgotten it. And I have spent the rest of my life regretting those things. So it is with you. If the Lord is the Lord of your life, and if the Lord is working in your heart, he's going to give you that kind of conviction. He's going to give you that kind of sorrow that leads to repentance. He's going to work in your heart in such a way that you will take notice, and you can't help but take notice of the things you had once said of another. The tongue is known as a deep, deep, dark cavern, pit. It's a place that if you go into there, it will be difficult to climb back out unless God himself reaches down and pulls you out. In Proverbs chapter 22:14, the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. It's cold, it's dark, it's slippery, full of snares and traps. Now, am I talking about a woman in the physical sense? No, I'm not. This is used as sort of a metaphor in the Word of God, a type and shadow. It's used to look at men and women It's used as a means of showing, because women have a certain temperament. Men do too. But we all have a mouth. We all speak. We all think, breathe, and hear, and listen the same. Not perhaps with the same temperament or understanding. But God uses metaphors throughout the Word of God, throughout the Bible, to prove His point. That is why it's so important, too, to guard and to watch over fallacies of doctrine. And you look at the Scofield doctrines and how the falsity and all the fallacy and all the things that will trip you up if you don't understand the Word of God for what it really says. And it says here, in the second part of Proverbs 22:14, "He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein." Those who abandon themselves to the life of sin will be abandoned by God. Those who give themselves over willfully, is what it's saying. Willfully give themselves over to sin, to reject God, to reject His precepts. There comes a time when God will say, "Okay, you go do your own thing. I'm taking my hands off your life." You know, we must be careful. I don't ever want to grieve the Spirit of God. I don't want to be in such a place where what the things that I say and do are grievous in His sight. I don't want to be in that place when I lift up my hands that God says, "Why do you lift up your hands with blood on your hands?" First, repent. Get right with God. Pray. Seek God's favor. Repent. Do all that is right and good and needful to get right with God. And then He will hear your prayer. Amen. The tongue has the power to bring death and life, peace or turmoil. If you go to Proverbs chapter 18, it says here, 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Oh boy, that goes a long way, doesn't it? It can be a wellspring of life, or it can be a deep, dark pit that you are trapped in for as long as you decide to be there until you reach out to God for help. Or, if by the grace of God, He convicts your heart to do so. It's a scary thing to live in this life, to not have God speak to your heart, to not have the Lord Jesus Christ convict you of things that you have done wrong. If you continue in on your way, doing things and saying things that are against and contrary to the Word of God, and if you are not convicted, my friend, that is a scary place to be. Because then you may be considered a bastard. You may be considered one of them that were made only to be burned and thrown into the fire. And I pray that that's none of you here. I pray too that that's none of your loved ones. I pray, and I know that you pray, that God will reach down and touch all those that you hold dear to your heart, that I hold dear to my heart, because this is truly not a place to play games. We're not here to play a game on words. We're not here to spin heads with cute things to say. We're here to help, to exhort, to edify, and to comfort. We're here to convince people that what they are doing is either right or wrong, depending on the circumstance. And with God's help, we can be that kind of a blessing to people. With God's help. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6, 2. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. With the very words that we speak, we can find ourselves just like Haman in the gallows of consequence. There is a day of reckoning. And when we look to ensnare and entrap others with words deceitfully used, we will more than likely be the very trap. We will fall into that trap that we set for others. That's what that's speaking here. That's what that's trying to say. We hang ourselves. We hang ourselves by the very words we try to hang others with. In other words, usually those that accuse you, and I'm sure all of you, somewhere, all those that are online, all those that are here, you know who you are. Everyone has had that happen to them at some point in their life. And it feels terrible, doesn't it? It just feels like, wow, what right do they have to do that? But you almost have to feel sorry for them. Because these people who are working so hard to destroy your life are destroying their own. They don't even know it. That's a scary thought. In Psalms chapter 12, 1 through 8, we know that the tongue can separate us from God. How many know that? The very tongue we use to praise God can be the very tongue we use to separate us from Him. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Notice how David cries out to God because he was destitute of any who could give him the kind of comfort he was looking for. Because in those days, nobody could he find to give him comfort in his anguish. He was destitute of many friends who could come to his aid and comfort. And it was a good thing, and it's a blessing to know that when I was in Georgia or Minnesota or Texas or wherever I was in between, all I had to do was pick up the phone and call either Pastor David or Shirley, whoever would answer, and I would find godly counsel. I would find on the other end God-breathed prayers going up on my behalf. And friends, don't ever take that for granted. That would be a big mistake. David cried out. He was among those that their hearts failed. The godly man was no more to be seen. The faithful among them had failed in their faith. They were faithless. They were empty, dry. They didn't have what it took to be that comfort. They didn't have that kind of overcoming strength and power to be a help and a blessing to those. Psalm chapter 12, 2, it says here, they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. And you all know, as well as I do, that they will speak privily, using plausible tones of friendship and even sincerity. And it says here, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Well, with the same mouth they use to kiss you, with the same mouth they will use to kill you. Verse 3, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. You notice how the devil dresses himself in words of pride and malice, but he'll always use the cloak of nice words. He'll always use that cloak to draw you in. And that's the devil's way. He draws people. He entices people. But when the cloak and the mask is taken off, you're staring into venom and bear wolves' teeth, sharp fangs, looking to do you in. Verse 4, who have said with our tongue, will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? In other words, their understanding is brazen and unjust. Since God sees, hears, and knows all, but yet they claim, as it says here, who have said with our tongue, will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? We've seen that happen, haven't you? I've seen it happen here. I've seen it happen other places. I know you have. I know it's happened in your life. People come without a conscience and they say things to you in such a manner that are hurtful and brazen, without conscience, thoughtless, dreadful words. In verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, for the sign of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. In the depths of distress and despondency, God will show himself strong for you and for me. God will come to your aid. In spite of all these things, the world and all those your enemies that puff at you, that speak boastful, prideful, hurting, brazen words, trying to show you who through their bulliness and brutish ways, trying to show you that they're not afraid of you by speaking ill and evil of you, having no respect or conscience at all towards the place God put you or who you are as a person, having disrespect for you and for the way that God has made you. How shameful. What a disgrace. In Psalm chapter 52, chapter 6, 52, verse 6, forgive me. 52, 6 through 8, says here, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. What does that mean? A severe test and trial, hollow area, heating metal at high temperatures. That was the definition used as I looked it up. It's a hollow place in the ground where metal is put and heated at high temperatures, causing lasting change or influence for a lifetime. That's what I looked up and found, and I thought that was very interesting. That is the way that you are purified, like diamonds in the earth. How all that pressure and heat throughout time until you come out a diamond in the rough. A diamond through all that pressure and fight that you have gone through in your life. Until one day you come out a different person. And you are able to handle situations that you never thought possible. So it is with your words that you speak. One day then you will be able to speak with words as the Lord spoke, that are purified words, silver tried in the furnace of fire. You're able to then give words of life and encouragement to those who are going through trouble. Words of life, life-giving words that offer truth and help and stability and blessing. And it says in verse 7, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That doesn't mean for just tomorrow or the next day. He's talking about forever. He shall preserve them forever. And that talks about eternity. That talks about getting them from here to there. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. How many know that? How many have seen that in our politics? How many have seen that in churches? How many have seen that wherever they go, the vilest men are exalted, recognized, and noticed? And not that we want their applause. Not that I want their handshake or their pat on the back and attaboy. No, I don't want that. I don't even care for it. I'd rather take the low place. I'd rather not be seen and heard. That's the safest place to be. I don't want their pride and their arrogance spewing on me, breathing on me. I don't want it. And if you go to Matthew chapter 15, we know that there are strategies of Satan, isn't there? And there is a battle for your soul using the tongue. Matthew chapter 15, verse 16. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? In other words, his disciples were with him all this time, and they still didn't understand what the Lord was trying to show them, what he was telling them. They didn't have that overall picture. They didn't have that wherewithal to know that now what the Lord is trying to show them. The Lord often spoke through parables, metaphors. He often spoke in such a way that those that weren't sanctified in their hearts, those that weren't saved by the grace of Almighty God from sin, death, and hell, could not understand those words of life. But those that were given the kingdom should be able to discern what the Lord, through the Spirit of God, is trying to quicken in them, to show them. And it says here, Do not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? See, it's not about the physical. It's about the heart and it's about the spiritual. The Lord is trying to show them. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. But we know what comes out of the heart is so desperately wicked in the heart of man. Who can know it? But by the grace of God, he helps us. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Your tongue is closely related to your heart, to your body, to your soul, to your spirit. Therefore, if Satan has control of your heart, he has control of your tongue. Therefore, we must watch our lives closely. Guard the door of your mouth. Guard the eye gate. Guard the mind gate, the heart gate. Put a guard and a watch over it. Examine your thoughts. Examine everything you do and say. Because the devil, without fail, will try to find that weak spot in you that you have left unguarded. He's going to try to find that, and he's going to try to use it against the work of God and against you and against your life. He's going to try to use it to hurt others. He's going to do all he can to hurt, destroy, and maim and cripple people. Matthew chapter 15, 20. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So we already know it's what's in the heart. It's what comes out of the heart. It's what we allow to germinate in our heart. That's what the Lord is after. He's after a heart that is going to be changed, that wants to repent, that is ashamed of their things that they've done, that hurts inside for the things that they've done to others. That's the kind of heart that is contrite, that God is looking for, that is humble, that is sorrowful under repentance, and that would never want to do it again. That's the kind of heart that God is looking for. If you go to Luke chapter 6, 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So if you have the love of Christ reigning in your heart, that is the good treasure. Amen? The good treasure of Jesus in your heart. And he that findeth that treasure finds life. If you go to Proverbs chapter 15, notice Proverbs is really big on words. And if you notice, that is a book that God has given for wisdom that we could learn. That is wisdom. To understand and how to use the tongue. Proverbs chapter 15, 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness, there is a breach in the spirit. In other words, by evil communication comes a breach through which Satan enters. The war and war against your spirit. Have you ever had that war in your spirit? Do you know what it's like to speak evil of somebody or something or even against God? And then Satan enters into that because that is his invitation to enter into your life and to create havoc for yourself and others. That is why evil communication is so, well, evil. That is why we must guard against it. According to Revelations 22:2, if you go there, Revelation 22:2, we know that a good tongue is healing to the sin-sick souls of this world. It is a tree of life which its leaves of grace having a healing virtue upon them. Amen. Go to 22:2 in Revelations. And it says here in 22:2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare the 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. What is that fruit that comes out of our hearts? What is that fruit that drips off of your tongue? Is it that kind of fruit that is life-giving, healing virtues, healing, edifying, comforting, exhorting to do good, exhorting to turn away from sin, exhorting to do that which is right, to turn away from evil? Comforting? Is it there to help and not hinder? Is it there to be a blessing and not to be boastful? Is it there to be a life-giving word in a time of great need for somebody who is in the ditch, who has fallen and needs help to find their way? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 3 through 8. And I'm not going to get through this, obviously, today. And we're going to go to a part two, perhaps even a part three, by the grace of God, should he tarry. He could come back tonight. But we need to be ready and take in the word of God. As we drink water, let the water of life fill your soul. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt. Wicked people are scornful, and comes with it a contempt for God and people. And it comes with contempt against his ministers, against his missionaries, against his pastors or laymen, elders, deacons, people that are that go to church faithfully. The devil, oh boy, will cause such a stir that church splits happen all the time. He'll cause such confusion and get something going and stir up all kind of trouble. Work in the things that he knows you have a weakness of and with, and build up a case against somebody in your heart. Oh, he'll build up a case. He'll make it look so bad and so big. And oh boy, he's going to put that, what you think is a conviction. In fact, I've heard it said, people talking about how that they felt that God wanted them to write somebody a letter, or to call them over the phone, or to say a word, and it was nothing edifying in it at all. Only to destroy and to harm with contempt. What a disgrace. And with ignominy and reproach. What does that mean? It tries to bring dishonor, shame, and confusion into the equation. That's what ignominy, reproach, means. To try to bring in you, or around you dishonor, shame, confusion, and contempt and disgrace. Verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters. In other words, in their hearts are treasures of useful and profitable words that we could say to one another. And a wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. In other words, you know what a brook is like. It flows, if it's a clean brook, clean and naturally. And your words will be mixed with grace with somebody. It will be natural. It won't be something you have to fight to dig up. It won't be something that you have to, with a feigned smile and gritted teeth, try to say something, barely getting it out of your heart, to say, oh, just to save face. That's not what it's about. It will come naturally. A wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Words from such a man flow naturally, clean, and fresh. That's the way it is. That's the way it has always been. In verse 5, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked. We are to guard our hearts from what they say and do around us. To overthrow the righteous in judgment, it says here. In other words, We are not to be perverted and stained by the iniquitous confusion that they bring through their words. Amen. Proverbs 18, 6 through 8, and I haven't much time left. We'll probably end right here. And it says here in verse 6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. They conceive in advance foolish notions, don't they? They like to quarrel with other people. That's what that means. And it says here in verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. In other words, this is the kind of person who goes house to house, or they're on the phone from one person to another, or they'll get into a group of people and they'll sit there and they'll gnash their teeth at somebody till they're minced meat. And they'll pray, they'll even pray against you. I know that there are people that have prayed against me to leave here. I know that there are people that have prayed against you. I know that that happens all the time. That's nothing new under the sun at all. But we know that God gives us discernment. He gives us help, comfort. We ought to do the same for each other. We should not allow the devil to rain ruin and havoc and confusion in our lives by allowing him to germinate wickedness in our hearts so that it comes out of our mouth in the wrong way at the wrong time. But rather, we are to furnish our words with grace, with hope, with life, edification and comfort, exhortation. Amen. In closing, I want to go to Isaiah 54, and it says here, in Isaiah 54, 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. In other words, we have that right, and it is of God that we do so. And it is important to know that we have authority over the devil, dominion over his works, victory over his schemes and schemes. We can walk by faith. We can, like Peter, get out of the boat, walk on water by faith. Walking on water, what does that mean? You're walking in victory over all the troubles of your life. You're walking in that great place of victory and strength and faith over the troubled waters of your life. Amen. And we will continue next week, God willing, should he tarry, on part 2 of Taming of the Tongue. And why don't we just go ahead and pray and then sing a verse or two or a song? Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you for the gift that you have given each of us through your precious and holy word. And the greater gift given through the word of God is a spirit within. The Spirit of God Almighty, the Holy Ghost, who has proven to be all that we need, all that we could ever ask or desire. The Holy Ghost and his quickening power, his ability to bring to mind and remembrance, to exhort and to comfort and to help us in great times of distress and need and trouble. But there is a God in heaven, and His Spirit goeth before us. And we thank God Almighty for His presence. We thank God for the Holy Ghost. We thank God for what He did on the cross of Calvary and the shed blood that He shed for us, for all our misgivings, all our frailties, all our sins and mistakes that we have ever made, that we can just go to the cross. We can give it to Him. We can lay it at His feet. We can surrender our lives in true repentance and give it to God. And He will take it. He will then use it. And He will then begin to make and mold us into the kind of person that we ought to become. Through His mercy, grace, and truth, we pray. And under the blood of Jesus, amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God.